It's all good. You're just maturing. Puberty is a process that lasts years, hits differently for everybody, and can last till you're around 20. So how do the changes show up? You may get pimples, mostly on your face, but on your body too. Hair. The hair you have on your arms and legs may get thicker and darker, and you'll likely grow hair in new places, like your face, armpits, chest, and pubic area. Stretch marks are common too, a sign of your adult body taking shape. Physical changes, from body odor to growth spurts, are just part of the puberty story. All kinds of new feelings may come on too, like crushes and being sexually turned on. It's super common to feel like your emotions suddenly turn on and off, sad, angry, or irritated. No matter how you're feeling about all these changes to your body, remember that puberty is a normal part of growing up, and knowing what to expect can help to make it feel a lot less weird or stressful. Want to learn more? Go to PlannedParenthood.org/teens.
And you're listening to radio station WUSB in Stony Brook, broadcasting at 90.1 FM, as well as 107.3 FM to the Greater Suffolk County area. And for the entire world, WUSB.FM over the internet. It's 6 o'clock. It's Tuesday. It's time for Off the Wall.
Thank you.
Okay, I think that's about enough of that. You know, people don't realize how many buttons and knobs have to be pressed before a radio show can go on, but there's an awful lot of them, and sometimes we miss one. Apologies whenever that happens. I know it upsets people. This is Off the Wall. This is Emmanuel Goldstein over on this side of the studio. Kyle's over on the other side of the studio.
Correct.
Way over there.
Yeah.
And you had an adventure today.
I always have adventures.
Well, you do. You make
my
life.
My whole dang life is an adventure.
And everyone who comes in contact with you,
they feel the same sense of joy in my adventure because they're players in my adventure, so their adventure becomes adventurous.
Fellow passengers on the steamroller to wherever Kyle is going.
No.
The steamrollers don't go that fast, but you do sometimes. Today you visited a dispensary over in, well, I guess it's close to Nassau County. We won't give out specifics.
There are several.
You know, they're far away. They should be closer, but you were telling me about the experience.
I heard people are against this kind of activity.
There are people against it still, even though it's legal. Now,
do they realize it's 2024?
I don't know what they think. I don't understand. I don't want to, you know, I don't want to mock or ridicule or anything
no,
like that.
No, I'm not. I'm just saying,
we're educational.
Like,
we're here to inform.
Right, but it's like after the fact. It's like this was all brought up before.
What is a fact, Kyle? What is a fact?
A fact is
it's
something
It's just another four-letter F word.
True.
I mean, seriously, that's how people treat it.
Uh-huh.
But okay, to get to what we're talking about here, yeah, a lot of people are against this. They fear it. But what you described to me today really, I mean, my eyes were already open, but it kind of Clockwork Orange opened them even more.
Well, it was daytime, midday, like after lunchtime, very bright and sunny, beautiful day.
Yeah, well before I usually get up. So that's why I wasn't there this time. But
I was on my own. I set myself loose.
Describe the scene inside this place because it really moved me.
Well, as soon as I pulled into the parking lot, it's always very busy and it's near exits and on-ramps and stuff. But as soon as I pulled in, there was someone I noticed right away who needed a little bit extra time. And so a couple cars were stacked up waiting because they were using mobility devices to walk away and get in their car and go home. And so, I mean, that right away told me, wow, you know, this is the type of clientele that's getting stuff to aid in you know, their overall wellness and stuff, but just generally, you know,
these were people that
people of all abilities smoke weed, you know,
but how they had crutches or?
Yeah, I don't know exactly what to call them, but they were using them to help with their gait, you know, walking. And then as I was going in, I was behind a veteran. He was wearing like an Air Force, some kind of shirt, and he was chatting up the security that checks your ID, who I have a rapport with. I've seen him a couple of times. I don't know if he remembers me, but there's like
they remember everyone.
This great pleasant exchange. They always kind of double check what you're doing, and
they take your ID.
Yeah, but send you on your way. You know, just as to make sure you know what you're doing and where to go. Maybe they can expedite you if you have a certain type of order. But
right.
I always say the same thing. I like to kind of sit there and choose things, take my time. So that experience, he was chatting that guy up with the same kind of greeting that's really pleasant, and I was just a little, you know, right behind there, so obviously listening to how the exchange went. And he was reminding this gentleman who was wearing this shirt, asked if he's a veteran, and essentially the guy said yeah, and they were going back and forth. He suggested, do you have any kind of identification for that? There's a discount, I think it's like 10%, but anyway, the guy didn't have
it. There's a military discount for pot?
There is at one of the retail locations. I don't know if that's across the board, but these are the types of incentives.
Should have enlisted when I had the chance, man. I should have done that.
Anyway, the guy said, I don't have anything like verifiable, but he said he was and affirmed that, but that he just basically had a driver's license. And the guy suggested, yeah, why don't you just mention it anyway or just work it out when you're checking out, and just kind of encouraged him to try to get a good deal. And the other thing I noticed while I was in line, after I had made an order and waited in the checkout line, which is, as I said, busy but swift. I mean, they had like 20 people there working. They're always very, very kind and fun to talk to, or, you know, give you a little bit of a review to, which I might start doing. on my own, I think.
Well, you know an awful lot about, you know, various strains.
I need a more recognizable affectation, you know, something that they know it's the guy. Or maybe not. Maybe I'm going to be like a secret shopper.
You could be, secret shopper or whatever. But the point is they don't rush you.
No. You get as much time as you need. There's lots of people there. Lots of conversation, too. People just talking about either totally unrelated things or particular events or products there. There's people coming and going, I think, doing some kind of workshop, maybe. I don't know. But someone in line had his arm, like, in traction.
Wow.
And with, like, bandages, like, wrapped, like, fresh out of some kind of treatment to take care of a surgery or an injury of some kind. And I just thought all of those different cases were simple examples of the wide variety of adults that are going into these places for all different reasons, but to avail themselves of this market. I don't know. It's not for everybody. I enjoy it, but it is a totally casual experience to go and pick up stuff. I wish it wasn't as much of a hike.
Well, what strikes me about this is that these people who have various ailments, they're not, and hopefully they're not using, you know, the painkillers that you can become addicted to. This is a much healthier and effective way of dealing with pain.
That was my first thought for the guy that was there with, like, bandages. I was like, wow, you know, if that was me and they were prescribing me heavy opioid-based painkillers and I was, like, trying to move quickly from, you know, post-operative and maybe a few of those, I would very quickly want to be on, like, Tylenol and maybe some CBD and cannabis primarily, mm-hmm. and water or something, you know, like that would be my regimen. I did that when I broke my hand. I've talked to a lot of different people who found that helpful instead of using those, because I don't know, those kinds of drugs just make you itchy and mess mm-hmm. you up. I don't know.
Yeah, no, totally.
It's gross.
And we hear the horror stories, you know, fentanyl and all sorts of things people get addicted to.
You could re-injure yourself too, basically. Like, especially if you are trying to regain mobility or you had some kind of orthopedic thing, like, or you actually, you know, had a break or an injury, you want to know if there's new pain. Like, you don't want to be living with it. Now, chronic pain is a whole other thing, and I'm not a doctor. I'm not giving any kind of medical advice. But I am saying that avoiding things and not losing your complete ability to sense things so that you don't overdo it, don't exert yourself and re-injure something you're trying to heal.
So those of you who believe that dispensaries are dens of drugs or whatever, you know, just evil places or places where all kinds of unsavory characters congregate, that is not true. And, you know, what Kyle experienced today is what people experience every day all around the nation now. And check it out for yourself. That is the best thing I could. You know, go in there and buy a lighter. You know, just go in and buy a lighter and check out the mood and tell me this is bad for people. You know, I think once you walk in and see it for yourself, your mind will be changed. I really think so. And, you know, it might not be for you, probably isn't for you, but you can see how it helps other people. It's a very positive thing. Now, you know, compare that to, and I'm not putting down these places, but liquor stores, bars, the convenience stores, all of which have alcohol readily available and the things that alcohol does to people. And, you know, we're not having debates about whether these places should be in town or near a house or near a church or near a dance studio or whatever regulation they see fit to put on these places. I maintain this is one of the most secure places where you give out some kind of a drug.
Generally, these places are nondescript. That are, you know, state sanctioned and licensed and stuff that are legit, above board, all that. You can't see inside them. For one thing.
That's right, you can.
The names themselves, I think, are fairly innocuous. They're not really so tongue-in-cheek or kind of adult in their suggestiveness. But I always get checked for ID, you know, and everyone that is there, though a very wide range of ages, they are all adults. Mm-hmm. Okay. This is like, and a lot of people coming and going, you know, you can tell they're like in their work uniform on their way from work. Maybe they did an early morning shift and they're just going home to like recoup, you know, and get back to it. But I just like the amount of time and stuff that you would have spent trying to go the other route or something, dealing with dodgy stuff. I just feel like you can keep it keeps you moving. Like you're able to get like top shelf variety and you know on a decent budget and not waste the rest of your time. Like exactly, I have a lot of stuff to do in my day. I'm a busy person.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to like hunt around and I don't want to be disappointed with where my dollar's going.
Exactly. Exactly. Now again, you had to travel, the town of Brookhaven that we're currently in, town of Southampton, town of Riverhead, still don't have a single dispensary open years after marijuana was legalized in the state. Why? Because the town boards have enacted these ridiculous restrictions that make it virtually impossible to find a location that suits all those restrictions. True, there are some dispensaries out on the reservations, Passepartout, did I say that right? And Shinnecock, and those are not state sanctioned, but they are legal, so you can certainly visit those. But where are the ones that are state sanctioned? They really should have been open years ago, and hopefully, it's a matter of weeks, if not days, because this is. It's basically fear and ignorance that is justifying this policy, just like so many other things. And
big shout out to all the bud tenders, the people there that are helping people, tip them if they accept it. You know, chat them up.
A bud tender. That's a new phrase that you can become familiar with.
Let them know that you know you appreciate that they're there.
Okay. So. This just into the we have a news stinger now? Okay. This just into the WUSB newsroom. We have one of those too. Apparently Mike Johnson has some things to say about the trans community. He was recorded today saying this.
I just want to make a statement for all of you here and be very clear. I was asked a question this morning at the leadership gaggle, and I rejected the premise because the answer is so obvious. For anybody who doesn't know my well-established record on this issue, let me be unequivocally clear. A man is a man, and a woman is a woman, and a man cannot become a woman. That said, I also believe, that's what Scripture teaches, what I just said, but I also believe that we treat everybody with dignity. And so we can do and believe all those things at the same time. And I wanted to make that clear for everybody because there's lots of questions. But that's where I stand. I've stood there my whole life, and those are facts.
Well, Mike, now there are just so many more questions. Can you believe this guy? So a man cannot become a woman in his interpretation of reality. So trans people don't exist. Literally, he is saying trans people don't exist. Speaker of the House of Representatives of the United States of America. Wow. Okay. I wonder if he's aware that a trans person was just elected to Congress. Probably not. Probably not aware of that. I don't know. Kyle, are you surprised at all by this?
Well, surprised.
Wrong words.
No, I'm a little, I guess, disappointed. I don't know. Oof. It just, it's not helpful, I think, because I think it's sort of, it's really just asserting his worldview. And, I don't know what readings in the Bible are relevant. I mean, that's his book. Not everybody shares that book. And I'm sure there's lots of contradictory things in the Bible. So,
well, which book exactly is it? I mean, what did God or whoever wrote the Bible say that a man cannot become a woman, that trans people don't exist? Was that really something that was covered in the Bible? And if it was covered in the Bible, that means it was an issue way back then. But I honestly, I'm not a Bible scholar. Whoa. No, I want people to think I am. I don't really know much about the Bible, but pretty sure they don't have a long discussion about trans people in there. But if they do, please correct me.
Well, and if we want to stick to the logic, is not a trans person born a trans person still a trans person? A trans person is a trans person. So, yeah, I guess he's just missing that next identity. But he'll get there.
You really think so?
What am I left? What else am I left to think?
I don't know. But why are these people, why are they so obsessed with this? Seriously, how does it affect them? Listeners, how does it affect, how does the trans community, assuming you're not trans yourself, how does it affect you? I mean, ask yourself that. Yeah, you read the stories about how these hulking men have taken over girls' sports. It's fiction. It's not happening. It's scare tactics to make you think that there's a threat, and that makes you translate that perceived threat onto innocent people, namely the trans community. And why do the Republicans feel the need to basically target this group? And I think they're doing it solely for political reasons, so that Democrats are going to stand up for any group of people that is being marginalized, and this is an easy target for them. But I don't think the rest of us see the hatred that's behind that.
I don't even know if it has to, I mean, it extends into hatred, I think, to in some corners, but it really just perpetuates the dysmorphia that trans people experience in their journey coming to realize that they are in fact trans. Like, if you deny that it exists, people may be conditioned by their community, schools now, I guess, authorities sort of imposing this kind of worldview, basically deny that that category or that that identity is in existence as it is now, and further delays that maturation of a trans person who is born that way, but may not realize it because of the conditions and the environment and the this kind of attitude that raises them. So then, okay, you've got adults who may take much longer. They've already passed certain milestones in their development. So they're then contending with not appearing with the identity that they've come to realize that they were all along. And I think that's what's sort of lost in perpetuating that. So it'd be real nice if we could go to the next step and talk about trans people being born as trans people,
right,
and creating an environment where they're not confused about that because you deny that it is actually an identity.
What I really am worried about, though, are those trans kids out there that have not yet come to terms with the reality of their situation. Hearing something like that, hearing that, no, you are not possible, you cannot exist in the manner in which you believe you should exist. You know, and just imagine, maybe here in New York, it's easier for people to get past that. But, you know, in the middle of Kansas or something, is it as easy? Are there enough places for outreach so that people don't feel like there's no place for them in this world? It's a horribly ignorant and hateful thing for any member of Congress, let alone the Speaker of the House, to just blast across our media. I mean, what business is it of his? Seriously, why are you guys so obsessed with this? It's really sickening. And if there's any good to come out of this, it's that hopefully we will bolster our support for these communities and speak in a much louder voice and shut these people up. I'm sick of hearing them. I'm sick of their ignorance and their hatred. And you know, the fact that they're going to be in charge of this country for the next however many years, that sickens me. But if we're strong, if we band together, if we don't look for differences that tear us apart and look for the things that bind us together, we can make sure these people don't get their way. That's my hope.
I hope that as well. It's, yeah, it's not, it may be a binary in your world, but it is not the case for everybody. And, yeah, it just, it is classic straight people, you know, thanks for nothing. You're super not helpful.
Well,
please.
Not plenty of straight people are, but yes, I
no,
hear.
But it's classic, like, oh, this is our experience.
Right.
Therefore, everyone must experience this.
No, like, nobody can say that.
Out of here with that.
Okay. I'd like to read a letter from a listener. And you can write your letter to us, otw@2600.com. That's otw@2600.com. Some people are spelling out 2600. And that's a big waste of your time, and it doesn't get to us. So just use the numbers. It's much more efficient. I've been a fan of Off the Wall since I moved to the area from Brooklyn about a year and a half ago. Initially, as I floundered to make sense of this strange new land, I'm a non-driver yet. You know, I grew up in a driverless household. And believe me, that is no easy thing in this part of the world. It's hard. Anyway, yeah, your program was one of the highlights of my week. I got to admit, this still is. My thanks to you and Kyle for that. Two things. This is referring to last week's show. Today's discussion about the Zone of Interest, the film that we saw about the house next to Auschwitz that was run by Nazis overseeing that death camp. My mom was in that zone working for a word in German that I don't think I could ever say, but it's related to Bayer, you know, Bayer aspirin people. It's a German company.
Uh-huh.
They have a football team too, I believe. She was a Jewish girl of almost 20 when the war broke out, and in order to survive, took the place of a Polish girl about to be taken into slave labor. Can you believe one of our listeners has that direct a connection? That really, that just amazes me. The girl's mom was hiding my mother, but was not going to let her own daughter go. Sparing you most of the details, when my mom talked about her time there, she made it sound almost normal, although she walked a lot quicker when passing the concentration camp for fear of being recognized and outed. She wound up helping keep the books because of her good handwriting and excellent Polish. She had a close friend, a fellow worker, who was dating one of the guards, so they were basically treated okay. Of course, your discussion made me think about all of this, including the almost normalness of her days, and amid all, at least as she told it, even after losing most of her family and all she knew before. I'm looking at her ID card from back then as I type. Just a working girl in the Zone of Interest. And I can't recommend that film enough for people that want to know more about that particular era and a rather bizarre story that was taking place right there near Auschwitz in Poland. The Zone of Interest. It was the Academy Award-winning film last year for international films. The heaviness I'm feeling since November 5th is felt by many, I know. I didn't expect you and Kyle to be able to lift any of that. And truly appreciate you going after all the blamers, as well as the oh-so-righteous voting holdouts slash alt voters, shades of Bush and Gore. But what you both said about finding and appreciating the humor, if one can step back from the horrors, hit home. I caught myself today laughing out loud, almost a Danny Thomas spit take, and most of our listeners have to look that up, at every new appointment being announced. Yeah, the appointments, oh boy. It was almost as if I had fallen through the looking glass or into a world where Bizarro was in charge. Anyway, thanks for what you do, and to fabulous Stony Brook Radio for making it possible for me to spend time listening on my old-fashioned radio. Thank you, Ronnie Ann from South Setauket. Pleasure to have you on board, and this letter really was incredible to me and to Kyle.
Yeah, keep listening to radio, all radio. I mean, it's getting better and better all the time. It's a dynamic format.
Here it is.
Absolutely. Especially community radio, WSB, Stony Brook. Please support it if you can. But listening in and of itself is a form of support because you're in tune with what's going on, the programming. We do the best we can. I'm not sure I always live up to the accolades, but it's so nice to be acknowledged to hear that. So yeah, we'll do our best in the future.
And, you know, we're a mix of community programming and student programming. Some of our best programming is student programming. These are folks that have been in radio maybe a year or less. The other day, we just turned on the radio by random. I heard this amazing program from the Palestinian perspective, from what I imagine are students here on campus. And that was the most eye-opening thing. What I really was blown away by, I think this was Monday 6 p.m., I think this program airs. Listening to that program, you expect to hear anger and bitterness. I didn't. I heard hope. I heard happiness. I heard humor. because in situations that are nightmares, you need that more than you need anything. And to reach out to other people, I don't know. I'm not saying you always have to put a positive spin on the most horrible things that are happening, but you need each other. You need to be able to reach out to each other, comfort each other. And these are the best ways to do that and get a serious message out too. There are all kinds of ways to get serious messages out, and being angry, yeah, it's understandable. But being open, honest, full of introspection, and just presenting your experiences to people who might not know, that's so crucial. And I just think this is one of our shining moments here on this particular radio station. With that, I want to encourage people to support the radio station. Please pledge whatever you can. Go to WUSB.FM. That's our website. There's a button there to pledge. I know we're in a fund drive until early December. You know how much we have to raise for this station? It's unbelievable. I want to say something like $2 million. It's not. I want to say something like $200,000. No, we just have to raise $20,000 in a period of over a month. Now, I've worked on stations where you raise that in an hour. So this is attainable. We shouldn't have to struggle for this. You know, we have a situation on campus where, unfortunately, there are people who don't recognize the value of radio. They don't understand why the radio station can't just be a podcast. And, you know, I could explain it here on the radio. I've done it before, and I don't want to take up the rest of the hour with this. But we have less money to work with than we did a year ago, substantially less, because of that viewpoint. And, you know, if you just come to the station, take part in what the station is all about, you know, like the people who do the Palestinian show have done, you see what the magic of radio truly is. That cannot be replicated just by doing something on YouTube or TikTok. It's, you can do that, but it doesn't replace radio, where you never know who's listening. We didn't know about a listener in Sausatawket that wrote an incredible letter to us. We can't track people. We can't say, oh, we have people from this particular IP. We have to target towards them. No, we don't do things like that. That's not what non-commercial radio is all about. It's a magical gem. It only exists here at Stony Brook. I don't think there's any other station anywhere near us that comes close to that. So please keep us alive. WUSB.FM is the website. When the pledge lines are open, I'm not sure if they are right now because we're broadcasting remotely. 631-632-6901 is the phone number to call. But if there is no answer there, WUSB.FM, you can pledge anytime.
Yeah, and share with the station. Give some feedback if you have a favorite show, if you're really excited by things, either in the process of donating or just out of the blue. They're always keen to know what's working, what people want to hear, what they thought of different forms of coverage and shows and a music selection, like the playlists, of course. So yeah, it's why we're here, and we really, really, really just love providing something that people can listen to on all kinds of vintage devices and the way they want, that, you know, what's comfortable to them. You could be doing all kinds of things while you're listening, and every bit of that support provides the power and upkeep, the operations to make sure that signal comes through on your favorite old time radio or headphones while you're out exercising or doing some work.
And if you miss something, we have an archive right on our website as well, so you can hear recent shows that have aired on WUSB. So we're talking about particular programs. You can listen to them. Well, not right now. We're on the air, but after you finish listening to us, you can listen to those and do whatever you want, whenever you want. So that's the magic of it. Now, the letter writer mentioned the cabinet picks and the comedy of the cabinet picks, and you think, you know, that everyone's laughing at this. Everyone feels that it's some kind of big joke. It's never going to work. Then you see an article in the Times that says to his detractors, Trump's cabinet looks like a rogues gallery of people with dubious credentials and questionable judgment. His supporters see something different. "It's a masterpiece," said Eileen Margolis from Weston, Florida, who owns a tattoo business. "If it was a painting, it would be a Picasso." Joanne Warwick, a former Democrat from Detroit, called it a brilliant alliance. "It's pretty much a star cast," said Judy Canoe of Flat Rock, North Carolina, who's a retiree, lifelong Democrat, voted for Mr. Trump for the first time this month. I mean, where is the hope? You know, if people actually think that RFK Jr. is a good person to put in charge of our health, if, you know, Matthew Gaetz, Attorney General. I mean, look at what's going on here. We have a situation where he is being investigated for underage for having sex with underage teenagers, and the report was scheduled to come out last week. Now, as soon as Trump nominated him, he resigned from Congress. I wish it was that easy. Yeah, maybe if Biden had nominated him to something, he would have resigned then. But yeah, okay, so he's out of Congress. But what does that mean? It means that the Congressional Oversight Committee does not have any sway over him at all. And at least according to Republicans, they can't release the report. They can't release the report. So what are you going to do? Shrugging of shoulders. And of course, you know, they're pushing... the same Mike Johnson is pushing not to release the report, because when you're innocent of charges, you never want to release the report that says that, right?
I think I saw a headline today that that report has been obtained.
Oh, has it?
And I believe the H word was used.
By hackers.
I don't know if that was clickbait or something, but it was just like the main page of one of the search engines. So I'm not 100% sure, but... there's a will to, how shall I say?
Oh, maybe this is it. Hold
on. Be up front. I hear that.
We have breaking news from the WUSB newsroom. No, it's not. It's something else, Kyle. It's GOP lawmakers, whose leaders have pressed to roll back transgender rights around the country, moved to bar Sarah McBride, the first transgender member of Congress, from women's rooms on Capitol Hill. My God, well, these people 10 years old. No, I'm sorry, 10-year-old, because that's an insult to you. Wow. So they're actually going to just make this an issue for one member of Congress and say, oh, you're not allowed to use these bathrooms. It's disgusting. Oh, my God. It's disgusting. I'm sorry. That wasn't the breaking news that this just happened.
Echoes of racial and other discriminatory practices in history. And I wonder if they realize what they're referencing.
No, I don't think they do. I don't think they realize that we've been down this road before. And history is going to look back on your ignorance the same way they look back on ignorance in the civil rights era. I mean... does it not enter their heads that maybe they're on the wrong side of this issue? What threat do you think is posed to you? You know, Mr. Straight Ass Congress. Well, actually, these are women, not allowed in the women's room. I don't even have words for this. It's really disgusting. And this is what they're focusing on. This is the big issue for them.
Well, the real bizarre part to me is that in these gendered spaces, everything going on in there is same-sex activity.
Uh-huh. You know, that's true. Right.
I mean, do we need...
especially in Congress.
Do we need something... I don't know if they realize, but there are all men in the men's room, apparently, and all women, predominantly. And, like, I don't know. How crazy are you going to get about your... let's say, difficulty with the water closet.
Wow. All right. Well, yeah, so this new Congress is really going to be, it's going to be a lot. It's definitely going to be something to deal with. I want to talk about congestion pricing, because that is something that is happening pretty soon. In fact, it's happening. Oh, come on, not again. Really? Another one? All right. From the WUSB newsroom, this breaking news, Oh, God, no. This is a joke, right? Okay, so now Trump has nominated Dr. Oz to oversee Medicare and Medicaid. Dr. Oz?
Are you sure that's not clickbait?
It's a piece of paper someone handed me. No, it's not clickbait. President-elect Donald Trump, moments ago, said he would nominate Dr. Mehmet Oz, the author and former television host, to serve as the administrator of the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services, a powerful agency that oversees health insurance programs covering more than 150 million Americans. Now, remember, Dr. Oz lost to John Fetterman in 2022 in a race to represent Pennsylvania in the Senate. And this is likely to be seen as a major surprise, even in a health department that could be led by another unconventional pick, Robert F. Kennedy Jr. My words are failing me a lot today.
I don't think so.
I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know how we're going to get through this. I guess by pointing and laughing a lot.
Oh, we're going to get through this. But a lot of people are going to be, in need of rescue from under the bus.
Yeah, yeah. Can I get to congestion pricing?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay. And can we turn that damn news thing off? That news theme is annoying me. It keeps breaking in without me asking for it.
I'm actually really pleased that they're reviving the newsroom as much as they are. And I just, tell that they were up all weekend putting together stuff for this week just to be ready for
this just happened now.
No, right? I know, but they had the machine and everything like ready to go and implementing it, I think, in ways that they have not done in the past here at the station.
Do you know what I saw in the loading zone earlier?
Yeah,
what? Where they throw the Trump machine. Remember the Trump machine? Yeah. Folks who don't remember, we used to have a machine here at the station that played a mandated Trump, would just say Trump once a minute. And I think it went berserk and started playing it like multiple times a second. And it's a big, it takes so much power. It takes two people to lift the damn thing too, but it's in the loading zone right now.
Yeah,
if you want to come and see it.
That's the first time I've ever seen vacuum tubes like in a live production.
Yeah, well, apparently it was left over from the 50s.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I'm not sure whose name they used to spout back then. Maybe it was McCarthy or something, although I think it's only capable of one syllable. But yeah, I don't know what that means. I don't know if that's a statement from the university or if that's just, or we're getting an upgrade. Maybe we're getting an upgrade.
It could be that it's obsolete.
All right. Well, anyway, so congestion pricing is the new... a fee, I guess, you will be charged if you drive your car into Lower Manhattan, meaning anything below 60th Street during peak hours. Actually, you'll be charged no matter what time you do it, but you know a minimal amount if it's after 9 p.m. If it's during peak hours, it'll be $9. Now, it was originally going to be $15, and Kathy Hochul suspended it. Remember last year? Earlier this year, she suspended it. We theorized here on Off the Wall that it was because of the upcoming election, and sure enough, we were right. After the election, she unfroze it and reduced the price a bit, but it's moving forward. And the reason it's moving forward now is because this is one of the things Trump does not like. And it turns out it's a Republican talking point for some reason, even though I believe this was proposed by Bloomberg when he was the Republican mayor of New York City, if you can believe that. But somehow Republicans have latched on to this in a way they never latch on to other fees, such as tolls on bridges or trains going up or anything like that. No, somehow they are pointing to this as the fault of Democrats, because Democrats happen to hold the position of mayor and governor at this time. So it's got to be their fault. It's got to be something that they're doing, just like, you know, the squirrel was beheaded. And that's a Democrat thing, even though it's, you know, Department of Environmental Conservation, which is not a political organization. They just latch onto these things and say it's Democrats' fault. And Democrats aren't very good at pushing back on that.
Absolutely. Anything that pokes through the lack of inertia, the sort of noise of inactivity, of inaction, and becomes something that might actually become a novel form of revenue for transportation and otherwise advance the prerogative of a city like New York City. They want to basically hamper and become the ball and chain to recharacterize it, reframe it, and talk about it in terms that make it sound more like more of a nuisance, and that is something that is in line with the noise, which is basically, let's not do anything. Let's just have the status quo, or worse, let's devolve, let's dismantle things, deconstruct our governance, our bureaucratic establishment, instead of maybe like refining it a bit.
Look, I am all for this program. I think it's way overdue. I think it doesn't go far enough, but it guarantees that there will be money for mass transit. Now, I don't know anybody who, God damn it. What is it this time? I was in the middle
of a
story.
It's cheaper, too. It's cheaper. Wait, what?
This just in from the WUS. And, you know, work on the fade out, too. It cuts off really abruptly.
Amateurs. Amateurs.
Okay, you know what? Okay, Ukraine fired U.S.-supplied longer-range missiles into Russia. I knew about that already. This isn't breaking news. This isn't breaking news.
It's technology transfer.
Biden gave permission for Ukraine to fire longer-range missiles into Russian territory, and Republicans are outraged because it hurts Putin, and he's their guy. So, no. Yeah, you know what? If you're in a war, seems to me you should use whatever you have to fight back. And it wasn't Ukraine that invaded Russia. Russia invaded Ukraine, so go for it. Give them a bloody nose. And they're sending all these North Korean troops in now, too. So, yeah, you know, Russia's kind of upping the ante, so it's time for Ukraine. Do they have an ante, too? They have to up their ante. Or if it's the same ante, help lift that ante. Whatever the thing is, they need to fight back, is what I'm saying.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's like, they got to do it deeper to, like, basically slow things down. And I guess, I don't know. I'm not with putting up with any more of this big talk. Like, I think if Ukraine wants to export their technology and we unbridle them and that's in their coffers and they have it to expend and it will slow things down, protect people that are protecting their sovereignty, then, like, yeah, I don't think we should be sitting here keeping our thumb on the scale and telling them what to do. So, yeah, and I like that it's going to put them in a different posture when the transfer sort of changes. And I think it should just be we should advance our prerogative sooner rather than later and supporting Western ideals.
Okay, I've just unplugged.
You have another announcement? What?
No, I just unplugged that damn theme so it can't interrupt us again. And we're going to have a meeting after the show because, you know, these are all things we could have done prepared beforehand. We don't have to have this stupid thing interrupting us every 5 minutes. There's breaking news all the time. So, yeah, okay.
I'm not with it. Rockets I'm not fired. With it.
No, I'm not with it either.
Superpowers want to throw their weight around.
Disrupted the entire flow of the show. So, back to congestion pricing, which I'd really like to get out. Yeah, so this is scheduled to take effect in January. And the reason for that timing is it needs a federal okay. After January 20th, when, you know, what's his name is back in power, he's not going to approve it. In fact, he said that he was going to somehow dismantle it. He doesn't have the ability to do that. And it's going to happen. It's going to come forward, and it's going to be a good thing because, you know, first of all, whatever happened to that philosophy that you should control what goes on locally, whether it's your village, your town, your county, New York City wants to control its part of the traffic grid and say, if you want to come in here, you have to pay a fee. All right. You know, if some other place in upstate New York did that and we were insisting that the feds come in and make them not do that, the Republicans would be all in a tizzy about that. It's hypocritical. And it's something that I think we really need at this point because if you've ever been to downtown Manhattan in the middle of a weekday, it's clogged with cars, air pollution. And we have a good transit system, a great transit system. I hear all kinds of complaints from New Jersey, people saying, oh my God, this is going to affect our lives so much. Well, you know, if you had better transit, maybe it wouldn't affect you so much. You know, you'd be able to just take a train in. And, you know, I suggested on Blue Sky, actually, that maybe they should implement a fee for people driving cars on New Jersey roads. That way, that money could be used to improve mass transit. Because in Manhattan, there's great mass transit. You can get pretty much anywhere by subway or bus. At least in Manhattan, I'm talking about. Outer boroughs is a little bit more a different story. But this is a good thing. Now, Republicans are angry, and they're already threatening to run this guy, Representative Mike Lawler, against Kathy Hochul in 2026. But that's 2 years from now.
Anger will get you nowhere.
Well, it does get them someplace sometimes. But,
okay.
But, yeah, I don't think it will this time. But you'll find a lot of people are against this. And I know I'm in the minority here, but a lot of people were against banning smoking in bars. You know, a lot of people were against recycling. A lot of people were against city bikes. You know, a lot of people are against a lot of things. But then you implement those things and people realize, not a big deal. And it's making things better. When we have the Second Avenue subway, that's going to be a good thing. And it's going to be paid for with this money. Now, a common comeback is, well, why don't you just crack down on all the people who aren't paying subway fares? And I'm like, great, okay, you want to lead that team? Because obviously people want to do that, but you can't just snap your fingers and say, oh, here's how you solve the problem.
Fundamentally, people do not come to cities for the traffic.
No.
Like, people that live in the city,
no, they don't.
People that visit from around the world, the core district that is being serviced by this policy, it is not attractive because of traffic, because of streets that dominate the space in service of wheeled, four-wheeled and other numbers of wheeled vehicles
what it does
that are
air.
Detrimental to humans.
Yeah, the air quality. I mean, you'll see a difference.
This is just like the first step in a transition to a future that is a lot more people-centric. And I mean, walking and the ability to be a pedestrian or on other forms of human powered transportation should be the priority, should be the emphasis, instead of what was taken away when the streets were narrowed or the sidewalks were narrowed for, you know, to accommodate surface traffic like this. I mean, but no one lives there for it. No one goes and seeks out traffic in New York.
I love the concept of that. People,
it's not
attracting tourists to look at the traffic.
It is a side effect. It's a it's a hazard. A byproduct, an unintentional consequence of what cities are functionally. But by eliminating a lot of unnecessary traffic, or at least putting a cost on it so that you can have other forms of investment that may further offset the kinds of problems exacerbated by traffic, but air quality, all of that, like it's, you have to start doing these kinds of things and poke through the noise and be in action as a city, as a community, as a locale.
You know, it's a win-win. Because if it reduces the amount of cars coming in, then there is more breathing room, literally. There's better air quality. Not as many pedestrians get injured in accidents with cars. And if the cars continue to come, it's more money raised for mass transit that people can use. And remember, this does not represent all the commuters, the people who are objecting to this. It only represents those relatively few who decide they have to drive into Manhattan every day and presumably pay to park someplace, which they're not up in a tizzy about. All right, we are out of time. OTW at 2600.com. Hey, we'll conquer those dark days together. We'll see you next week.
Get moving.
Good night.
When you're weary, feeling small, when tears are in your eyes, I will dry them all. I'm on your side. Oh, when times get rough and friends just can't be found, like a bridge over troubled water. I will lay me down like a bridge over troubled water. I will lay me down. When you're down and out, when you're on the street, when evening falls so hard, I will comfort you, I'll take your part. When darkness comes and pain is all around, like a bridge over troubled water, I will lay me down like a bridge over troubled water. Water, I will lay me down. Sail on, silver girl. Sail on by. Your time has come to shine, all your dreams are on their way. See how they shine.